Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do appreciate the opportunity to come this way each week at this same time. We want to take just a moment to invite you, if you are in the listening area, to come and visit with us at Mount Lebanon. Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. we have Sunday school for all ages, and then our 11 a.m. Sunday morning worship service every Sunday morning. Wednesday nights at 7 we have our midweek prayer and Bible study. We just finished up the book of Mark. We're going to be getting into something else here this Wednesday night, so we're looking forward to that. And so you can go to our church website and find out more information about that. It is good to see Noah today. He's in the radio studio with us and working, and we appreciate him and what he does. You having a good day so far?
So far, so good.
Good.
And I'm glad to be here at the station this morning. We do want to say welcome to all those who are listening in, those who listen in right here on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and our listeners on 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and speaking of that, I have a special announcement I want to make for one of our listeners, a good brother in the Lord, a church I've preached at many times. Pastor Dwayne Dillard called me the other day, and they are having a special meeting. This is the Beulah Baptist Church in Meadowview, Virginia. That is just outside of Damascus, and well, sort of between Damascus and Abington there, but the Beulah Baptist Church, and this is a soul-winning conference, October the 10th through the 12th, and they're going to be having Pastor Dewey Williams. I know a lot of our listeners on WZAP, they're familiar with Brother Dewey and his ministry there and in Bristol, and so this is a soul-winning conference, October 10th through the 12th, at the Beulah Baptist Church in Meadowview, Virginia, 7 p.m. nightly. And so that's coming up next week, and I wanted to let you know about that. Maybe if you're close by, you can go over and be with them in the services. We are studying the subject of civics, and as we pointed out many times now, the Bible has a great deal to say about civics. This is part 10, or the 10th broadcast. Lesson, you might say, that we have been studying the subject of civics. And I've got the definition memorized. Now, I didn't have it memorized to begin with, but I've got it memorized now. Civics is the rights and duties of citizens and how the government works. And we've said many times, Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6, the Bible says, "For my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And certainly in America, we see how that is true. That your average person knows very little about how the government works, about rights, about duties, about these things. So we're covering this. Our founders knew that if America would succeed, there would have to be a informed, intelligent body of people that were morally strong. And so they promoted religion. They promoted the Bible. They promoted being ethical. They promoted knowledge and understanding and studying the Constitution and our history and early history books in our country, in the public schools, in the private schools. They would spend a great deal of time studying the subject of civics, studying the law, studying the Bible. In fact, in our country, in many, many instances, the Bible was the textbook. And that was what they read out of, studied out of, got their lessons out of. And so a lot we could say about that, and we do from time to time. But civics is very important. And we've been looking in the past few weeks at the Declaration of Independence and the subject of rights, what the Declaration of Independence has to say about rights, what it teaches us about rights. And there's four things that we need to learn from the Declaration of Independence about our rights. And we've gone over these each in great detail, with the exception of number four. I left off with beginning number four last week, but I'll just quickly go over there those again for those of you that may just be tuning in. Maybe you didn't hear last week or the week before. But what does the Declaration of Independence teach us about our rights? Well, number one, the Declaration of Independence teaches us that our rights come from God. It says in the Declaration of Independence that they are endowed by their Creator, capital C. That is talking about the God of the Bible, Jehovah God. We in America, we have a Judeo-Christian heritage, which means we have a heritage that goes back to the Jewish religion and the Christian religion, a Judeo-Christian heritage. Those are linked together because of the Bible, God's Word. And so the Declaration of Independence, we learned that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Now, the fact that rights come from God teaches us also that our rights do not come from the government. If the government give you your rights, the government can take away your rights. The government does not give us our rights. No church or denomination gives us our rights, or some religion. Our rights do not come from some general consensus where people get together in a democracy type platform and vote and say, well, I think this is what it ought to be, and we ought to do this and we ought to do that. That's not where we don't decide for ourselves what our rights are. Rights come from God. Number two, we need to learn this, that rights are unalienable. And we've covered that word, unalienable, and what that means. And it says in the Declaration of Independence that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And that is a good word there. The word unalienable, it means non-transferable. It means you cannot give these rights away even if you wanted to. Unalienable. Nobody can take these rights away from any other individual. The government cannot take them away. You cannot give them away. You cannot take them away from another person without breaking the law. And so rights are unalienable. Number three, we learn this. These rights are self-evident, meaning everybody ought to understand. Everybody ought to see this. This is just common sense. The Declaration of Independence says we hold these truths to be self-evident. These things that they're talking about in the Declaration of Independence, anybody ought to be able to see this. They ought to be able to understand. Our rights are easily discoverable to all who wish to find them out. They're not hidden. They're not secret. They're not part of some esoteric group that, you know, they've got a bundle of secrets and nobody else knows anything about it. These are self-evident. Anybody, everybody is able to know and understand what our rights are. They are testified to us by the laws of nature and of nature's God. And lots of things we could talk about that and say about that, but what that means is just look at nature. Creation is full of order. Creation is full of design. You look around. Now, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights was far ahead of the day and time in which they lived. And so the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, it talked about that all men are created equal, but they had slavery. So they certainly were not treating all men equally. But they believe these truths. They believe these truths. It took several years after that, and it took a lot of bloodshed. It took a lot of, you know, to get where we are today. But just look around. All men are created equal. That's just common sense. And you look back through the history of time, and just about every people group has had slaves and has lorded over other people groups. And so this is something that's gone on for thousands and thousands of years. But we understand today that all men are created equal. The white, the black, the red, the yellow, the mixture of all that does not matter. They're all part of God's creation. And so these rights are self-evident. Look at nature. Look at creation. It's full of order and design. Also, you can look at God's Word. It is written down. God's law is written down. And it talks in the Declaration of Independence about the law of nature and of nature's God. And so then number four, what we've learned from the Declaration of Independence about our rights is that the purpose of government is to secure these rights. And I want to read this so you can get the context of it. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. And that's what we want to look at today, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. And I've done this before. I'm not going to go back over it in great detail, but we've studied Romans chapter number 13. And that is where the Apostle Paul, he deals with the subject of civil government. What is our relation to civil government? How are we to act towards? That's the passage of Scripture that says, let every power be subject unto the higher powers. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. I didn't have it right in front of me there. But he's talking about a Christian's relationship to the civil government. And if you study Romans chapter number 13, you will find out that that passage of Scripture and other passages of Scripture agree wholeheartedly with these conclusions, these lessons that we learn from the Declaration of Independence, that the purpose of government is to secure these rights, that these rights are self-evident, that rights are unalienable, that rights come from God. The Bible teaches us these things. Where did they get these ideas from? They got these ideas from the Bible, God's Word, and they agree together. What I mean by that, if you lay the Bible down beside the Declaration of Independence and you study them together, they are not contradictory one to the other. What you find in one, you'll find from the other. The Bible predates the Declaration of Independence. That was the source of inspiration for these great world-changing ideas. And now, governments around the world that claim to love freedom and want to provide liberty for their people and operate under the system of a republic, they have adopted many, many of these great ideas that we find early on in our country. Where did they get their source of inspiration from? They got it from the Bible. The Bible and the Declaration of Independence, laid down side by side, are not contradicting each other. What I mean, you don't read the Declaration of Independence and say, well, that's good and that's good, but no, that is totally contrary to what the Bible says and we have to refute that. No, they agree together. They do not contradict one another. And so we learn from the Bible and from the Declaration of Independence that the primary purpose of government is to protect the good and to punish the evil. That is especially taught in Romans chapter number 13. If you do good, you don't have to fear. If you do evil, you have to fear. You have to fear what's going to happen to you, because God has given authority to human government to punish that which is evil. Of course, we have to recognize there is such a thing as evil and there's such a thing as good. And in our society, in this late hour of time that we're living in, many have got it all mixed up. And you know what? The Bible said that there would come a time, and it's in the book of Isaiah, where men would call good evil and evil good. And that's about where we're at today. But if we look at the primary purpose of government, it is to protect civil rights. It is to protect the good, the rights of the people, and it is to punish the evildoer and protect from the evil coming in and taking over. And our candidates could take a good lesson from that as well. Now, having said all that, I want us to look at these rights that are specifically mentioned in the Declaration of Independence. Now, these are not all the rights that we have. It just says that among these, not all of these, not all of the rights are listed, but among these, and there are three: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so we're going to take just a few minutes today and sort of talk about what that means. What does that mean, the right to life? That's the first one that is mentioned, the unalienable right to life. The Declaration of Independence requires that the government is to protect, to secure these rights, this right to life. It cannot be surrendered. It cannot be taken away from us. It cannot be taken away from our posterity. You know, the name of this radio broadcast is The Blessings of Liberty, and it talks about the blessings of liberty to our posterity. That means our children, our grandchildren, our children's children, and right on down the line. This right to life cannot be surrendered. It cannot be taken away. But let's look at where we are in America today. There is much controversy in our nation. There's a lot of protesting going on. There's a lot of racial tension and division in our country. And you'll find this phrase over and over again: Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. And it's talking about, you know, if you know anything about what's going on, where a person would be shot by a policeman. And this has caused numerous protests and all kinds of things going on in our country, and it's been going on for quite some time now. And so there's many that, you know, they're getting the word out, hey, something's got to be done different here. We can't go on like this. Black Lives Matter. Well, you know what I say to that? I say amen. They certainly do matter. It's a concern. And sometimes the police are justified, and sadly, sometimes you'll see a video or something might happen, and you say, boy, I don't know if that was justified or not. I don't know. And I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm not saying here nor there. But I am saying this today. Yes, I agree 100%. Black lives matter. But if we believe that black lives matter, then we must equally believe that all lives matter. And one of the most disturbing things that I've seen in a long time was when the Democrats were having their debate among themselves. This was last spring. And they were debating. Hillary was there, and Bernie Sanders was there, and some of the others. I can't even remember now who it was. But a listener, they had written in. They were letting people ask them questions. And somebody had written in, and they had asked the question to the Democratic people who were running for president. And the only ones I really remember are Hillary and Bernie Sanders. You know, they're in the middle, and the others are off to the side. But they wrote in, they asked the question, they said, do black lives matter or do all lives matter? And every one of them said emphatically, black lives matter. What a bunch of hypocrites. To say, to make a distinction, and what it boils down to is this: if you say that all lives matter, then what about abortion? That's what that's getting at. And so they say, well, yeah, black lives matter, but all lives does not matter. But I'm telling you, if one matters, they all matter, and they all matter because God has made us. We are created in His image. All men are created equally. And all lives matter. Blue lives matter. That's talking about the police officers out here on the street. And they're dealing with things and trying to get home to their wife and their babies. Hey, their lives matter too. They're under an intense amount of pressure. And they're dealing sometimes with people. They don't know if they're going to kill them. They don't know. I mean, they're in a bad situation. They're in a hard spot. We need to pray for them. Blue lives matter. Black lives matter. Baby lives matter. Elderly lives matter. Old people, sick people, handicapped lives matter. People that cannot, that are not able to take care of themselves, hey, they matter too. I was reading over there in the book of Exodus yesterday, and where Moses, where God told Moses to go down into Egypt and to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And I don't have it right here in front of me, but basically Moses said, who's going to talk for me? I'm not a man of good speech. And the Lord told Moses, he said, have I not made thee? Have I not made the blind? Have I not made the deaf? God said, I have made these people. And so all lives matter, young, old, black, white, handicapped, not handicapped, it does not matter, but all lives matter. And this is a basic right to life. If the government takes this away, why, it's taking everything away. In 1973, the American Supreme Court, or in America, the Supreme Court broke the unalienable right to life by legalizing abortion. And babies have been being aborted by the millions and millions and millions ever since, every year. Enough to populate cities. Enough people have been aborted to populate states. I've sat down and figured this out. Came and presented it one time on the radio broadcast. William Blackstone, who I have referred to several times before, he said this on the right to life. He said, a man's limbs cannot be wantonly destroyed or disabled without a manifest breach of civil liberty. You know, in some of these Islamic countries, if a man steals something, they might cut his hand off, or might cut both hands off. They will mutilate these people. We have, in our Bill of Rights, we have a protection against cruel and unusual punishment. Not going to brand something on somebody. You're not going to cut somebody's tongue out for what they've said. All these things have been done in the past. People have been killed. Their bodies have been mutilated for the rest of their life. So William Blackstone writing about this, you cannot mutilate somebody. You cannot destroy or disable a person without a manifest breach of civil liberty. But you know that is exactly how abortion takes place. The doctors, so-called, I don't think they're much doctors at all, but they'll go in and they'll tear a baby limb from limbs with surgical instruments, cut their arms off, cut their legs off, cut their head off, remove them from the womb. And that goes on and on and on in our country. The right to life has been breached. And next thing, and I'm saying all lives matter, a government that is in the abortion business does not need to be in the health care business. The two are totally contrary one to the other. The next ones the government will deem unworthy of life will be the elderly, and that is coming. You'll go to the doctor and grandma or grandpa will be sick. They'll need some medicine, and some bureaucrat somewhere will decide that costs too much to just give them 6 more months or to keep them alive and see if they get any better. That's coming to America. Our senses have been dulled to what is really going on in this country, and we have let the right to life, and we've gone on and on and on for years and years, and a Republican will say, well, I'll do something about it. Hey, none of them's done anything about it. It ought to be against the law. It's murder. It's killing. And all lives matter. If any lives matter, all lives matter. And they do. And we believe this is a country for 200 years, more than that. And now all of a sudden, oh, this group matters and this group does not. That is hypocritical. And it's totally contrary to common sense. The Declaration of Independence says we have the right to life. And you take that away, you've taken everything away from somebody. Well, I got to go on. I've only got a few minutes. There's liberty mentioned, the right to life, liberty. Now, liberty is not, they did not mean that's a license to just do anything I want to do. A lot of people think that's what liberty is. That is not a true concept of liberty. John Locke, who we've mentioned, a Christian philosopher, John Locke, said this, being about men and about liberty. He said, men, women, being all equal and independent, no one ought to harm another in his life, health, liberty, or possessions. Now, my liberty stops when it interferes or harms or endangers another person's life. Or if my liberty endangers your health, then I ought not to have liberty to do something that would endanger another person's health. Now, let me give you a good example of that. You have liberty to drive a vehicle. You're free to do that. And so you take that. That is a good thing. I drove here, and I'm going to drive home. And a lot of people are out here driving up and down the roads. They have liberty to drive their vehicles. You have liberty to drink alcohol. Now, I don't promote that. That's not what I'm saying. But if you're old and you're of age and, you know, you got liberty to do that. If you want to do that, it's a free country. But you do not have liberty to drink and drive. Because if you drink and drive, there's a very high, you're going to run into somebody and kill them. Your liberty does not give you the right to do something that will hurt or harm somebody else. And I'll tell you, I'm just going to throw this in, I'm feeling sort of preachy today. But texting and driving is just about as bad as drinking and driving. I see that all the time. That just burns me up. You're going to run over somebody and kill them to see some dumb text message or be messing with your phone. My goodness, your liberty does not give you freedom to hurt or harm another's health. My liberty cannot cancel out your liberty. Somebody says, well, I don't like what Trump says. And boy, a lot of these protesters, they've went out and tried to shut down his rallies and things. Well, no matter what you think about what he says, you cannot use your liberty to cancel out somebody else's liberty. If we're going to live in a free society has liberty of speech. And so you have the right to say things. You may not like it, but you got the right to say that. That's liberty. I can't use my liberty to shut down your liberty. And so life, liberty, quickly, the pursuit of happiness. And I've pointed out where that is talking about land. That's talking about being able to have land. But again, some people take that and they say, boy, that means I can do anything I want that I think will make me happy. But our founders believed that true happiness was only attainable within the boundaries of God's law. William Blackstone says, for he has so intimately connected, so inseparably interwoven the laws of eternal justice with the happiness of each individual that the latter cannot be obtained by observing the former. Meaning simply this, you cannot be happy apart from God and His word and His law. Psalms chapter 1 said, blessed is the man, that means happy, oh how happy, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I recommend Psalms chapter 1 for your reading and your meditating upon. It'd be a help to you. Well, our time is quickly come and gone today. I do appreciate you listening in, and I hope you have a great day. God bless you is our prayer. Noah's going to come and give the contact information.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church phone number at 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.